Houston, flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
FDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right-side patriots have a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Greg Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, the 10th of May. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm good. It's Friday.
Okay.
You know, got a weekend coming. It's going to be nice. Going to be a nice weekend for a change.
Well, here in South Florida, it's just about ready for our, us little weather weenies to start dipping some toes in pools.
Oh man. You know, it's going to be in the mid to upper 70s here this weekend, north central Nebraska.
Okay.
You know, we'll take that. It's not going to, I mean, it may rain a little bit on Sunday, but you know, tomorrow's going to be really nice. We just came off of like 3 or 4 days of ferocious winds.
It seems to be very windy across the whole country lately.
Yeah. I was watching the Weather Channel the other day, and a lot of storms in places where you wouldn't think they'd have them this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
They even had some tornado activity, as I understand it, up in Michigan.
Yes. They did. I saw that on TV. Here in South Florida, it's been more windy than normal, but I noticed about 2 days ago a little creeping back of the humidity.
Well, see, you know, that's just what makes summer uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's not there yet by any means. But
oh, but it will be.
It's coming within the next few weeks, I would think.
Yeah. Some of the worst humidity I have ever experienced was one summer when I was in New Orleans for a little while, and it was over 100 degrees, but the humidity there is god-awful. And then when we lived in Phoenix for a few years, everybody talks about, you know, Phoenix is a dry heat. Well, it is until monsoon season, which is usually begins right at the first part of July, then you have 120 degrees and high humidity.
See, here in South Florida, you know, everybody says, oh, it's so hot in the summer. No, it's not. Yeah, we have humidity, but it rarely gets above 90, and we always have the two Gulf Stream breezes coming across here.
Right.
It's actually hotter up where you are.
Oh yeah.
Than it is here.
Yeah, and, you know, we typically in the summers up here in north central Nebraska, we'll have a few days where it's, you know, in the mid to upper 90s. We might hit 100. Two or three days during the summer. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. Folks, we got a lot of stuff we need to delve into. And let's start by unpacking what is a trunk full of crap with the Trump trial. This trial going on in New York, I tell you, it's a crock of crap to begin with.
Absolutely.
And it's not going well for the Democrats.
No, not at all. But what I don't get more than anything, as I've been watching the trials, and what I don't understand, and I mentioned this to you earlier today, I don't care if you support Trump, if you don't support Trump, if you're a never Trumper, if you're an independent, I don't care. What I care about is those on supposedly on the right, the Republicans, how you cannot see that this is a political witch hunt. How can you not see the truth in all the partisanship that this judge is throwing out there?
I can't even begin to explain it. You got these never Trumpers that are watching all this stuff go on, and they still insist, no, we're not going to vote for Trump. Well, here's the thing they need to come to grips with. I don't know that they ever will, but here's right. What they got to come to grips with. Trump is 100% correct when he says, they're coming for you, I'm just standing in their way.
Yeah.
If they get away with this, it sets the template for what they're going to do to anybody on the right side of the aisle. If they don't like your politics, they're going to gin something up and go after you in a court of law.
Yeah, it's gotten to that point here. Most people know I'm not a Trump fan. I always give him credit for the economy, which was great, and I give him credit for his Israel stances. Am I a fan per se? No. But I do have enough sense to know that's what being done to him by the Democrats and these liberal judges is a total miscarriage of justice. These are crimes with no victims, well, which in and of itself means, what are we doing here?
That's the question you have to ask.
It just makes no sense. And these people don't understand. If Trump loses this election, if you're going to hold to your never Trump attitude, if you're going to be an independent and then go to, let's say, RFK or God forbid, Biden, I mean, do you think we can survive as a country with Biden as president again, especially if we lose the House and the Senate? People don't get that. But on the other hand, let's say everybody decides, yeah, we better vote for Trump. And everybody votes for Trump, but we lose the House and the Senate. We're screwed there also, because whatever Trump would try to do will be knocked down in the House and Senate. So the best thing everybody can do right now, I don't care if you have to put a clothespin on your nose, you got to vote the straight Republican ticket.
Yeah, top to bottom on your ballot. Now, you just referred to this as crimes without victims, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it a step further. What we're watching right now is a trial without a crime.
Okay, same thing. Right.
No, it's not the same thing. What's happening in this New York trial, this Stormy Daniels debacle?
If you don't have a victim, you don't have a crime.
Well, you can charge a crime and without a direct victim. You can actually do that. But what we're seeing here is a trial without a crime. The supposed crime that was committed was a bookkeeping error 10 years ago.
Right.
Okay. And that would have been normally a misdemeanor.
Right.
The clock ran out on it. The statute of limitations ran out on it. So what they've done is they have shoehorned this into a felony by claiming that the original quote-unquote crime took place to cover up the commission of a felony. The problem is we are now 3 weeks into this trial in New York, and the prosecution has not yet told anybody what the felony is that he was trying to cover up.
Right.
Okay. And now, but I'm going to take it a step further here, and I think this is important. Okay. Not only have they failed to do that, okay, there is also this other aspect to it that really isn't getting very much coverage. And that is that the felony aspect of this has, you know, the way they've done this has never seen a courtroom before, ever, anywhere, not only in New York, but anywhere. This is a completely manufactured, made up situation.
Yeah, and the problem is that too many people don't see that this is made up. It's also, in my opinion, a violation of the Constitution, because while everybody else is allowed to speak and say whatever they want, only Trump is under a gag order. And that is 100% wrong. We have this judge talking about it. We have all the prosecutions people talking about it. But only Trump is under a gag order. And what I don't understand is, and I might be going out on a limb here. Here it is. We have the Supreme Court of the United States. They have to be monitoring what's going on here. Here it is. You have a man being tried in the most liberal city by the most liberal of judges, who gave money, he and his family, to the Biden campaign, who campaigned, you know, helped campaign for Biden and this, that, and the other thing. Diehard liberals, they're sitting up there. And they can't see that something is not right here constitutionally. Yeah. You are supposed to be tried by a jury of your peers, not by a jury of lynchmen.
Well, they couldn't find 12 Republicans in Manhattan.
I don't think they found one for that jury.
Well, no, but here's kind of one of the odd things about the jury. Two members of the jury are actually attorneys.
Right. Democrat attorneys.
Yeah, they may be screaming liberals, but they've got to be looking at this thing going, what do we do here? So far, after 3 weeks, every single witness the prosecution has put on the stand has denied any wrongdoing by Trump. In fact, one by one, they have all admitted under oath that Trump had nothing to do with any of this. Now, right. here's another aspect of this. Here's what the prosecution alleged in their opening argument. Okay, they allege that Trump was doing this to effect the 2016 campaign. Okay. They claim he was committing election interference in the 2016 campaign with this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my problem with it. There was no payout for anything to Stormy Daniels until after Trump had been elected and was in office for about 6 months. So how can he be effecting the 26 campaign when the 26 campaign was over, 2016 campaign was over before the supposed crime was committed?
Well, if you want to go even beyond that, everybody forgets about the Steele dossier, Hillary Clinton, and all the stuff that really was election interference. Nothing's ever been done to any of them.
Right.
Not one. So
not one.
Here it is, you know, your justice where they're holding the weights. The weights on, you know, one side is totally down, and on the other side they're getting off scot-free. I just cannot get over the Supreme Court sitting there and not getting involved. I don't want to see, and what I fear happening, while it would only take one member of the jury to hold out and say no for a mistrial to be declared. But in New York and the tactics that are used there, I don't foresee that happening. I actually foresee Trump losing, goes to the appellate court, which I don't care what part of New York he's in, it's a liberal court, losing there, the Supreme Court then taking the case, but out of fear, whatever, of blowback, throwing it back to the state.
I mean, there's a lot of ifs and ands and buts involved in that, and it's hard to say what might happen down the road.
Right.
But this trial gets goofier by the minute. Now, earlier this week, for 2 days, Stormy Daniels herself was on the witness stand.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't do the prosecution any favors either.
No. But she didn't do Trump any favors either.
No.
She kind of vacillated there in the middle.
Yeah, but the defense, Trump's team, was able to blow holes in her testimony that were big enough to drive tanks through. Now, for instance, the prosecution claimed, and she claimed on the witness stand, that this had nothing to do with the money. Okay. She was accepting the payment as protection, but she wasn't interested in the money. Well, oops. There is a recording of a tape where Stormy Daniels is telling, I guess it was Michael Cohen or somebody in a legal capacity, that she couldn't wait to get her hands on the money, and this was about furthering her career and this and that. So they played the tape, the defense did, in court, completely blew up her testimony that she wasn't ever interested in the money.
Right.
You know, and she's had podcasts, and she's done, wrote a book and all this, all for political purposes. The defense asked her on the witness stand, do you hate Donald Trump? And she said, oh yeah, I hate him. Well, that doesn't make her a very credible, you know, witness either, you know?
No.
All of this stuff and 90 some odd percent of everything she said, as I understand it, did not even pertain to the charges.
Exactly. This whole thing is a freak show.
That's and, a good way
you
to
know,
put
when
it.
She described her encounter, her 2006 encounter with Trump, really, Stormy, you really expect rational people to believe you? I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's a waste of time. It's unfair. It's a waste of taxpayer dollars. And this is a witch hunt. There's no other way to say it. It's to aid Biden in stealing another election. That's all it is.
Now, all eyes are going to be on that courtroom come Monday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern time, mm-hmm. because Michael Cohen is going to take the stand Monday morning.
Right.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Michael Cohen is a verified liar and a perjurer. Mm-hmm. He was also found guilty of being in contempt of Congress. He is not a reliable
credible.
Witness. Yeah,
right.
Credible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he is the next quote-unquote star witness the prosecution is going to put on the stand. God only knows what kind of tall tales he's going to tell.
Unless he's already cut some deals somewhere.
Well, you know he has, but, you know, the point is, all of what he's going to say, if you are a jury with working brain cells, you wouldn't believe a word this guy says. He's already been convicted of perjury.
Right.
You know, I mean, holy cow. So you got all of that going on. That's all coming up on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a you-know-what show, you
yes.
know, when that all happens. The Stormy Daniels thing was another crap show. Mm-hmm. All these witnesses that the prosecution has put up there, they don't have a bad word to say about it. The prosecution even put somebody up on the stand that Trump fired, and she had nothing but nice things to say about Trump.
Yeah, this whole thing doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And, you know, I'm waiting for an arrest warrant for Hillary Clinton.
You're going to wait till you're a little old person.
I know. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. The Democrats are so afraid of what's going to happen in November. And, you know, everybody says it's a landslide. No, it's not going to be a landslide, because we always have the voter irregularities, if you will, to deal
right.
with.
Right.
Okay. If Trump wins, he'll win, but it's not going to anywhere. It's not going to be a Reagan win. I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
But again, if we don't keep the House and take back the Senate, Trump will be an impotent president in office.
Let me throw something else into the mix where this trial, if you want to call it, it's a kangaroo court.
Right.
You know, let's face it, that's what it is. But let me throw something else into the mix here that I think is very interesting in the fact that this is really becoming a disaster for the Democrats. Normally, you wouldn't talk about a trial in such political terms, but this is a Democrat operation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream media, your ABCs, NBCs, MSNBCs, CNNs, they're now taking a stance on this trial that a month ago, before the trial started, remember, we're 3 weeks in. So a month ago, right. Oh, they were just licking their chops, man. We're going to have Donald Trump in jail and this trial's going to, you know. Well, now they're saying, you know, maybe there's too much focus on the trial and maybe the coverage is, you know, too much on the trial. Well, if they thought this trial was going in their direction right now, they would be talking about this 24/7.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay? The fact that they're saying, you know, one of the problems with, you know, we've got all these things going on in the world and this trial is just kind of sucking all the oxygen out of the room. That's a direct quote, I think, from Jen Psaki the other day.
Oh, well, what do you want?
Well, but okay. Yeah, but you know, I understand what you're saying, but the source is if these witnesses were working for the defense, they would want to talk about the trial and nothing else. The fact that none of this is working in their favor right now, they want to pull back and not cover it as much because it's looking so bad for their side.
Well, I hope it continues to look bad for their, you know, side. The trial is expected to wrap up by next Friday and go to the jury. But there's a specific thing that they want Cohen to do on Monday. And that is to say that Trump understood that records related to the reimbursement checks to Cohen would be falsified in order to cover up the fact that they were tied to the purchase of Stormy Daniels' story. That's what they expect him to do. Will he do that?
Well,
I don't know.
I think I've got an answer for you. Yes, he will do it because he's a liar. The problem is everybody else the prosecution has put up on the stand that supposedly was in on the cover-up and knew this was going on and was going to testify. None of them, not one of them, has said Trump had any knowledge of this. In fact, the main bookkeeper for the company testified that, you know, this was a legal expense. This was not a hush money expense.
Right.
This was a legal expense. And that's what the Trump team has been saying all along. It's the liberals that keep calling it a hush money thing. But here's the thing. He's not charged with a hush money offense because that's not a crime.
Exactly. No, it's not. But you know what gets me about this? Here it is. You've got this porn star, supposedly, use your air quotes for that, a level B porn star, as a matter of fact. And here you had Donald Trump, one of the wealthiest men in the country, big real estate tycoon who could basically have any woman he wanted. You really think he'd go with that?
No.
I don't.
You know, I mean, no.
He doesn't need to buy sex, and he never did.
Right.
So, I mean, this is ridiculous just in its concept.
You know, the problem for the prosecution right now, if this was not a kangaroo court, this would be their problem. They have spent 3 weeks on this trial, and they haven't even come close to anything they allege Trump did. They have not had one witness offer one shred or one iota of any kind of proof or evidence of what the prosecution is claiming Trump did. In fact, every single witness, every single thing they've brought up proves just the opposite.
Right. It's very unfair. I think it borders on the unconstitutional.
Yeah, I do too.
Again, if a lot of us know it's unconstitutional. If we know, so does the Supreme Court know. It really angers me that the Supreme Court has not stepped in and put a halt to this.
Well, I'm
going
to ask.
They can do it. They can do that.
Okay.
And I don't see why they haven't.
We've got 2 minutes left. I'm going to ask you what I think is a very interesting question.
Okay.
Looks like the prosecution is going to wrap up their case, such as it is, within the next couple of days. Okay, Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, somewhere around there. Then it's the defense's turn.
Right.
If you're the defense in this case, how deep do you go in defending this? Or do you keep it minimal and turn it over to the jury?
We don't know the makeup of the jury. We don't know what side of the aisle they're on. I think what the defense should do, they need to turn it over to the jury as fast as possible, but I think they need to make extremely strong closing arguments before they do so.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right. That's exactly the way I feel about it. They need to keep the defense side of this case short and sweet and to the point and get to the closing argument. And when they make their closing argument, they have got to have every duck lined up, and they need to just put the exclamation point on all the falsehoods that have been exposed by the prosecution's own witnesses.
Exactly. Exactly. Then turn it over to the jury. And I think our hope with the jury lies with those two attorneys.
Yeah. And usually you don't want an attorney on your jury. In this case,
you do.
It might be advantageous.
Yes. So we shall see. I mean, either way, they think it's going to be turned over by Friday night.
It's going to get interesting really fast.
Yes.
All right. And, so, oh, go
but
ahead.
You know what, Craig? I hope the jury goes fast and finds him not guilty. But I hope the jury goes fast so Trump can at least put this nonsense behind him.
I doubt that he's going to be acquitted, but what I'm hoping for is at least one juror to hang the jury and cause a mistrial.
But when that happens, and I agree with you, I think that's what's going to happen. But when that happens, I'm going to have to sit through this again.
Yeah, but it may not occur before the election.
Right.
You know? So we'll see. Okay, we've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a couple of more really interesting topics to talk about tonight. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after that.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Yes. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey getting you through a Friday night edition of the show. And if you missed any part of it, go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning. Click that podcast button. You'll find it up there in the top menu bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and while you're there, check out the rest of the site.
Yes, some of it's very interesting.
You know, I mean, you know, we update it every day, but Sundays, and you know, there's always interesting articles in all the different tabs. You know, some of it, you know, is really kind of Diane and I's pets, you know, like science specifically, yes. Maybe history. But, you know, there's still a lot of interesting articles in there. Okay. So, you know, one of the things, Diane, that you have said for some time now is that Donald Trump needs to be talking more about policy. Well,
right. This
week, some of that policy stuff has started to come out pretty hot and heavy. And among the things that he's been talking about is future energy plans. And these are enough to make the liberals and the greeny weenies froth at the mouth.
Well, basically what he's going to do is dismantle Biden's ridiculous fossil fuel regulations. They're going to go bye-bye, and it's a good thing that they do. But what I like about his plans and how he's met with the oil companies, etc., I like how he has actually called attention to the difference between himself and Biden. Remember, with Biden and this whole fossil fuel nonsense, Biden and has climate change looms. They call fossil fuels basically an existential threat to the planet. And Trump calls climate change what it is. It's a hoax. And I just absolutely love that, because anyone with one brain cell, anyone who would pick up a science book would understand that the climate has changed since the Earth was first formed billions of years ago. It comes in cycles and then it disappears and then it comes back again. There's no such thing as climate change. These loons do not understand the difference between pollution and the climate. But Trump gets that.
Well, he does. And, you know, this is all very interesting the way he's going about it. He had a big soiree over at Mar-a-Lago about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And some of the people that were there were some of these big, oil tycoons, I guess, for lack of a better word, fossil fuel, people. And they're not only are they talking about pouring roughly $1 billion, that's with a B, dollars into the Trump campaign, they're also working with attorneys, not only with their attorneys, but also government style attorneys, not current government attorneys. Okay, because we all know they're flaky as granola.
Right.
But what, one of the things they're going to do, thinking that, okay, if Trump wins, we are going to have a whole bunch of regulatory knockdowns ready to go for executive order on the first day.
Right.
And these will have all passed constitutional and legal muster.
Yes.
Now this one of the reasons this is interesting, Diane, is because this takes the pressure off of Trump leading up to the election, leading up to the inauguration. These things will be ready made and all he has to do is sign them.
Right. Well, one of the ones that I really love, because I think they are the most ridiculous things I've ever seen, are these wind turbines. They're going bye-bye.
You can't imagine how happy that makes me.
Yeah, they're going bye-bye real fast. And he's also going to reverse Biden's so-called pause on liquefied natural gas export approvals. He's going to start, drill baby drill again. The Keystone Pipeline's coming back online again. The natural gas drilling, everything is going to come back. And when that comes back, the economy will also start to come back. One feeds into the other, and that's what people don't realize.
It really does.
And then another thing they don't realize, and Trump does, and I've written about this before, electric cars might be a future possibility when these batteries that power them are more, they're able to keep their charges longer. They're not as expensive. In other words, the electric cars, the technology we have today is not there yet. And Trump's going to start phasing out all that electric car nonsense.
Well, and that's good. And
I did
an article on this just a few weeks ago. And not only is the car battery issue a problem, but so is the power grid. Because
if we
follow the greeny weenies and these goofy Biden mandates, we'll crash the power grid with electric cars. The grid can't handle it. And I'll tell you when electric cars are going to be the thing and be viable. Never. Not in this country. And I'll tell you why. Until we can manufacture the batteries in this country with minerals that come from this country, It's never going to happen. We should never subsidize Communist China's economy by buying their batteries. And the only place you can get the lithium in the amount you need to fulfill the greeny weenies wet dreams is from China.
That's why I don't understand it at all. And I also don't understand Elon Musk in relation to that. He knows he has to buy from China. I just don't get this whole thing of, you know, they say the cars and all the CO2 and the crap it puts into the air. Well, why don't you spend the money maybe on purification systems for the cars, better than what they've had in the past? We don't need electric cars. We need a way maybe just to not produce so much CO2 from the engines, and not the way that we tried it, but new and different ways. This whole electric car nonsense it's nonsense. That's all it is. The technology is not there. They are not cost effective. They're ridiculous as far as I'm concerned, and they're butt ugly.
There was a study that came out about, I want to say it was a couple of months ago now, maybe 3 months ago. Apparently, there is more CO2 put into the air by brakes than there are by car engines. So the brakes on your car are actually worse for the environment than the fossil fuel the car burns.
Yeah. But you know what's funny about all this? Here it is, they're talking, Biden and crew, oh, the pollution, the carbon dioxide, this, that, and the other thing. How come nobody's condemning the two biggest nations in the world that are the biggest pollution producers? India and China. Why is it always thrown on us?
It's the question it's the question that shall go unanswered, because there is no real answer to it.
Exactly.
You know, the closest I can come to an answer is the basis for the whole greeny weeny religion. They swear that you can change the weather by throwing money at it.
You can't.
Okay. No, you can't. But this is what they swear. Now the basis of that is tax money. Okay. By saying we can change the world's climate, which we know is crap, but by saying that, they can rake in more taxes and they can rake us over the coals for them.
Right.
It's a money grab and a power grab, because they mandate this stuff and you suddenly become beholden to the government.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it's all about.
It's all about money. There's so much politics involved in this. We have wasted so much money, time, and resources on ridiculous things like wind energy.
Solar.
Yeah, solar's great if it's sunny all the time, but it's not. Not even in South Florida, folks. So it's not sunny all the time. This is just useless nonsense.
Even if it was sunny all the time, solar panels are roughly 20 to 25% efficient.
Yeah.
It hardly seems worth it to me. I don't know.
No, it's not worth it. But to me, the biggest things I hate are those damn wind farms.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've been trying
to get... They're eyesores.
Well, and they're
killers of birds. Yes.
They're stupid. And again, every time you see one of those things, realize that wouldn't exist were it not for China. Mm-hmm. A lot of the materials that are used in wind turbines can only come from China.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So every time you see one of those, and you also know that the government subsidizes the wind companies with tax credits. And it's probably been about 10, 12 years ago, Warren Buffett, he was asked, you know, why do you keep investing in these, you know, wind turbines and wind farms and wind companies? And he said, well, honestly, without the tax credits, it wouldn't be worth it.
Well, okay. How about this also? What everybody forgets, there has to be a main switch, if you will, to turn everything on. Well, guess what the main switch is powered by?
Exactly. Wind turbines don't work unless you run electricity to them.
Exactly.
You know,
they're a joke. As far as I'm concerned, they're an ugly joke.
They are. I call them monuments to stupidity.
I agree with you.
All right. So finally on tonight's show, this is fascinating. We've got all this crap going on college campuses. And one of the pieces of crap that goes on there is these idiots on the college campuses keep making demands of college administration. Well, you see, when you allow that kind of thing to start, there's no way to end it. In Denver, Colorado, illegal aliens are now making demands of the Denver mayor.
Yeah, first of all, the Denver mayor for allowing this needs to be kicked out of office.
That's not going to happen.
I know, of course, the illegals, folks, they broke our laws to come here, which makes them criminals right from the get-go. They are now demanding certain things like fresh food, unlimited showers, money to buy things. I mean, this is a joke. They want, if they overtake a house, let's say that someone's on vacation and they take over, you can't throw them out because it's squatters' rights. I mean, this is absolute nonsense.
Let's start with the whole food thing, okay? Because that's number one. Number one on their list of demands.
Mm-hmm.
Migrants will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city instead of pre-made meals, rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, etc. Also, people will not be punished for bringing in and eating outside food.
Okay, let me do number two.
Okay, wait a minute. I want to deal with this number one. Then we'll get to your number two. Okay. How many times have we all heard over the eons, if you go to Mexico, don't drink the water?
Right.
Okay. So if everything they get to cook with is culturally appropriate, that means we should supply them with sewer water for cooking.
I like that.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Number two.
Okay, number two. We got a list here, folks. They want shower access to be available without time limits and can be accessed whenever. As in, we are not in the military. We're civilians. So if we want to take three showers a day, it is our right to do so.
All right, let me deal with number two. Wherever the hell you came from, did you have unlimited supplies of water for showers? Probably not.
Right.
Okay. You know, you say we are not in the military, we're civilians. Well, if you're not in the military, what the hell are you doing invading our country?
That's right. That's a good one. Okay, number three. They want medical professional visits, and they want them to happen regularly, and referrals connected to specialty care if needed, and all free of charge, folks.
I say they all need to be signed up immediately for the colonoscopy of the week.
How about of the day? Make it real fun. Okay, number four. All of them will receive that same housing support that has been offered to others. They cannot kick people out in 30 days without something stable established. It meaning they can go every 30 days, if they so choose, to another domicile, and we have to pay for it.
So they want something stable established. Fine. Let them live in a stable.
Good one. I like that.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Number five.
Okay. Now, number five. There needs to be a clear, just process before exiting someone for any reason, including verbal, written, and final warnings. In other words, you can't just go in. They could trash something, but you're not allowed to go in and throw them out.
They say that would only apply in jail.
Okay.
That's you can't exit jail without verbal, written, and final warnings. Look, here's the deal. You squat in somebody's house, you get one warning. Get the hell on the catapult, or flinging you over the border.
Right. Right. Okay, here's number six. All shelter residents will receive connection to employment support, including work permit applications for those who qualify. Nothing like, you know, taking more jobs away from Americans, right?
Well, that's only if they get their way on that. Now, when it comes to that, I would say employment support, work permits for any country other than ours. Now, for instance, if you come from Guatemala and you're a watermelon, we will find you a job in Bolivia. It's someplace different. You ought to love it.
Okay. Now, number seven, consultations for each person / family with a free immigration lawyer must be arranged to discuss progress in their cases, and then the city will provide ongoing legal support in the form of immigration document clinics and including transportation to relevant court dates.
Perfect. I love this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to meet with your immigration attorney in whatever city you're in on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your free immigration attorney, you get what you pay for, but this way we will always know where you are.
Right. Yeah.
That way when it comes time to deport your dumbass, we can find you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, number eight, the city will provide privacy for families and individuals within the shelter.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Tents.
Right. I mean, we got all the tents that we're scooping up on college campuses. Have at them.
Send them to Denver. Number nine, no more verbal or physical or mental abuse will be permitted from the staff, including no sheriff sleeping inside and monitoring 24/7. We are not criminals and won't be treated as such. I got news for you, folks. You came here illegally. You are a criminal.
No doubt about it. Go on to number 10.
Okay. Transportation for all children to and from their schools will be provided until they finish in 3 weeks.
I don't even know what that means.
There's 3 weeks left in the school year, basically.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You get on the bus, your next stop is Mexico City.
I'll go for that one.
Okay.
Number 11, no separating families regardless of if family members have children or not. The camp will stay together.
You pack up your kids and your grandma and your aunts and your uncles and all the damn cousins that came over here with you. You all get to go back to where you came from.
Right. Number 12, the city must schedule a meeting with the mayor and those directly involved in running the newcomer program, ASAP, to discuss further improvement and ways to support migrants. You're not migrants, folks.
Well, and if the mayor wants to meet with you, more power to him, but you got to bring your own damn tacos.
Yeah. And the last of their demands, the city must provide all residents with a document signed by a city official in English and Spanish with all of those demands that included a number to call to report mistreatment.
I say that, you know, a document is a document is a document, right? It's something right. that exists on a piece of paper.
Right.
Use Tupelai.
Ah, I like that one. But you know what? I like President Trump's plan if he is elected president. He's going to round them all up and ship them the hell out of here.
And I got the perfect name for the plan. You know, every government plan has an operation name.
That's true.
Right? And I got the perfect one.
What?
Operation, you bring them, we fling them.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that. You know, folks, the difference is these are not refugees. These are not people fleeing from war-torn countries. These are mostly young men invading our country. Yeah, there are some families, but these are mostly young men invading our country. We all see it, but the Democrats don't see it. Although some in Texas now are starting to come around.
Yeah, some of them, yes. There are some mayors down there in those border communities that are Democrats, and they've had enough because this is all destroying their local economy and their local housing markets and everything right. else. You know, and I have been all for, you know, when they get to Texas and Greg Abbott puts them on a bus and sends Absolutely. Them up to New York. I've been Absolutely. All for that, but you know, New York is now getting a little pissy about it. How about we just send them to Gaza?
Yeah, that's true. They can help clean up Gaza. You know, once Israel levels it completely, they could be the workforce to rebuild it. And I say that facetiously.
Place is a goddamn mess, and they could use a good, you know, lawn service.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they've turned New York City into basically a shithole. Everywhere they go, it's a mess. They had no business coming here. Biden had no business, and Obama, the Democrats, inviting, in a way, these people in here. These, if they are so gung-ho, especially these young men of military age, why don't they stay and fight for their own countries? Well, I'll tell you what, because Biden and crew will give them everything. The hell with our veterans. The hell with America's homeless. The hell with Americans below the poverty level. Give it all to the illegals. And you want to know something? Fox News also pisses me off because they still call them migrants. Call them what they are, illegals.
You know, I got a letter in the mail today from AARP. They're trying to get me to join. Mm-hmm. And it tells me right here in the letter that I would get a discount at the Waldorf Astoria.
Well, sorry, Craig, but the illegals are living there, too, for free.
Yeah, they're living there free. I get a discount. The hell is wrong with this picture?
This country is one big wrong picture right now. What's Guys, that's why it's so important. Down ticket, top to bottom.
It's a fluster cluck.
Yes.
I am. Yes. We've run out of time.
Okay. And with that, I'll say nighty night, folks.
Folks, have yourselves a great weekend. We'll catch up with you again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.